podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
Carpooling gives you more of what you want. More savings, more friends, and more time to relax. Get matched into carpools with others who live and work near you. It's free. Register at commuterconnections.org or call 800-745-RIDE.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast.
High Hopes.
On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This crowd is singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, I don't know. In fact, I am sure that we have never spent an entire High Hopes episode talking about just one player. But should we just spend the entire time talking about Christopher Sanchez? What a freaking king, dude. What an unbelievable story. What a developmental win. What a 44 2/3 shutout innings. This guy is bearing down on Oral freaking Hershiser, Jack. Oral, that was the first season I remember. 88 was like, my baseball is beautiful. Like, I love this thing. I'm in for life. I remember watching Oral go on this run. It was just like, what is happening right now? I didn't understand it at the time.
Were you watching on MLB.TV?
They didn't have it in 1988. Wow. Not for many years after.
Wow.
I am... Especially with the way Sanchez started the season, you know, he looked a little off. It was like, all right, you know, he's second in Cy Young. You can't expect him to be as good this year. Like, of course, he's much better. Him and Shohei, I guess, the two best pitchers in baseball, because you got to throw Shohei in there right now. Mizrowski. There are guys around him. But, like, what Sanchez is doing right now is literally unprecedented in Phillies history, past Grover Cleveland Alexander, 115-year record.
Yeah.
Your thoughts for
it? Well, it's just like one of those things, and watching it yesterday and being on the edge of your seat for it.
Right? It felt like a playoff game.
Yeah.
It did.
The players were also nervous. Did you see how nervous Stott was feeling that ground ball?
And how about Justin Crawford? Are you kidding me? Like,
yeah. Nah, that was after.
But still, to keep it going. He doesn't have a shot at Oral. That could have got out. It's nuts, man. Yeah. It's really thrilling.
And he definitely thought Machado got the one that.
Oh, Edmundo, I did too. Didn't you? It didn't even get to the wall. Like, I thought that was gone. And Machado thought it too. Which of course that would have been like insult to injury. The last one right before. Are you kidding me, dude?
Yeah. So, you know, it was one of those things where it reminded me so much of just the feeling of watching Hamels throw the no hitter. Like, it was the same kind of time of the day.
Right.
It was in the middle of a week. Well, I think Hamels might have been on a Saturday, but either way, just the middle of the day, you're at your house watching and you're seeing history. I mean, 115-year record. I mean,
that's insane, dude. And it's seventh all time. Like, he has in the history of the sport. This sport goes back over 115 years. This is the seventh longest anyone's ever gone. And here's the crazy thing, too. Like, next start, if he goes through it, like, he will be third. Like, he's only a few innings away from leaping everyone except Oral and Drysdale.
And he would be the longest lefty.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
So the lefty, I think the two lefties ahead of him, both of whom I don't think I've ever heard
Carl
of.
Carl Hubble's one of them, right?
Yeah, I think he's like 45 2/3, and the other one's like 45.
Yeah,
innings.
They're right there.
So he's right there. In the history of baseball, for left-handed pitching, at least, if you can't reach Oral Hershiser, he could be number one all time.
It's amazing.
For a sport that's been around forever.
Yeah.
It is it's this franchise has seen some all-timers. Carlton, Halliday, Lee.
Grover Cleveland-Alexander.
Robin Roberts.
Ron Roberts, of course.
Zach Wheeler, Hamels, Curt Schilling. Like, some great, great starting pitching. And this dude is, I tweeted it 2 weeks ago. I think he's going to end up as the second best left-handed pitcher in franchise history.
After Carlton, yeah.
And
wow. Hold on. So that's really fascinating. Is it Cliff now? Like, who's second? Oh, Cole. It's Cole. It's Cole. It's Cole. If you take the whole length of the career.
Lee higher highs. Yeah.
But I think it's Cole. You're right. Wow. Yeah, he really could. It's not that bold. It's like a bold take, but it's not that bold to take. Yeah.
No. And, you know, Hamill's really, really good. I don't think he had the peaks.
And they've never had a lefty win the Cy Young before.
No. Well, Carlton.
Oh, yeah. I meant other than Carlton, obviously, because we said Carlton's like in his own thing. I meant other than Carlton. We're losing listeners. We just talked about Carlton's all by himself.
Oh, get him out of here.
We're talking about being the second best.
Get him out of here. Lock in. And just like pitching wise in my lifetime, I mean, the Hamels run in 08 in the playoffs, sure. For sure, but that was, you know, essentially it was a month actually.
Yeah, it was a month.
But then this is just like
Halliday in 2010.
Lee in 11.
And Lee in 11, yeah. You're just going lefties. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, Lee in 11, like Halliday
in 10 was pretty great.
So he's great. But I think
you're talking about like starts in a row type, yes. Like an actual stretch in the season, not the overall. Yeah,
sure.
I got you. Sure. Yeah.
Because you know, I think Tim Kelly tweeted it, and it's really, we almost forget how good Cliff Lee was during the peak of his powers that one year. So Cliff Lee in June of 2011, 42 innings pitched, 21 hits, one earned run, 8 walks, 29 Ks. 3 complete game shutouts.
Wow. That's pretty good.
And a .21 ERA. Sanchez this month.
.21?
Yeah, so you left one earned.
Oh, one earned. Yeah, of course. Yeah, and then 0 for Sanchez.
And then to Sanchez, 39 innings pitched, 25 hits, no earned run, 3 walks, which is crazy.
Insane.
3 walks. 45 strikeouts to Cliff Lee's 29.
Wow. So Sanchez has been better.
And then the only 1 complete game shutout, and obviously no earned run.
Yeah, he's been better.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nuts.
It's rarefied air.
It really is.
And Ranger in 24 when he started.
Yeah, well, after he missed the first month and then came back and through May was unreal.
Yeah, yeah.
But started 10-1 or whatever, right?
I think it was
10-0, was it?
So this is, I mean, it is, we've seen some great pitching around here, and this, you could make the case, is the best that we've seen. It's crazy.
Unbelievable, man. And, you know, the fact that Christopher, I mean, the thing is, and like, I think that it is probably, in my lifetime, the best development story in the history of the franchise. In my lifetime.
No, I'm not.
You know, in terms of just what a guy was and turned into what they turned him into. Because Wheeler, you know, obviously got better here and stuff, but he was a elite prospect. He was someone who was thought of as
pedigree.
Pedigree, you know.
So the two that immediately jump out to me are Victorino and Worth.
Sure, because Victorino's a Rule 5 guy, and Worth might be the answer. He's up there.
But I don't know.
I think Sanchez probably better, though. Sanchez, that's the thing, is Sanchez is a Cy Young candidate year after year. Like, right now, if the season ended, he'd win it because he's got more innings than Otani and all that. I think he'd win it.
Him, again, Mizorowski is ridiculous.
I know. Otani's got a .7 ERA or whatever. You know?
Yeah, but he's essentially an opener when you really think about it.
He just hasn't pitched that much.
He's an opener.
The best opener of all time. Yeah,
he's a great opener.
He is. Yeah. I think it's got to be Sanchez. I mean, he has turned into one of the 3-4 best pitchers in baseball.
Like Jason Worth.
For multiple years now.
Jason Worth, probably had a top 10 MVP finish in 10.
Yeah.
But it wasn't top 5.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no, there was never a question of, is Jason Worth the best player in baseball? You can say Christopher Sanchez today might be the best pitcher in the sport. You could argue it. Like, mm-hmm. I think people would take Skeens or whatever. He is right there in the discussion for best pitcher in all of baseball.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of those ones where you look at the journey with Chris Sanchez.
That's what I mean.
Where he was on like DFA watch 3 years
yes.
ago.
Yes,
and
the Curtis Meade trade, man.
Everyone's bitching. Curtis, but by the way, kind of heating up for the Nats. Kind of heating up. Did you have any idea the Nats had the most runs scored in baseball?
No, they do?
Of all these teams,
what?
Right? The Nationals, who I think people could name two Nationals offensively, James Wood and C.J. Abrams, and then we've had questions about everyone else.
Lyle, that's a guy.
I do love that guy.
I really like him.
I like him a lot. Keybird's having a good little run.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I did pick up Curtis just need
yeah.
for a little little Josh Jung insurance in case he got hurt.
Man, that's great.
But yeah, so he's on DFA watch. He's like every time he comes in, he's walking the ballpark, and it's actually, I mean, one of the reasons why Caleb Gotham's so valuable. I don't think we've talked a lot about him in the whole Sanchez development, but him turning Chris Sanchez into what he's helped turn him into.
He should get a ton of credit.
Part of their whole plan was, hey, we know you throw 98. You have no idea where it's going. Let's drop it down to 95. Let's make sure we're in the strike zone, and then you can work your way back up to 95. And then this year, you know, he starts off, he's tweaking with, or he's tinkering with that new slider, and I think it cost him his changeup. And now that he has the feel for the changeup again, he has the feel for the fastball again, he's starting to throw that slider more and more.
Which is crazy, because he's one of the best pitchers in the sport with two pitches.
I know. He's special.
He really is special.
And it's just...
And oh, by the way, the best contract in the history of my life for a Philadelphia athlete, too. No big deal.
Well, yeah. And then now they did extend him.
You know, and so even then, it's not that much. It's an insane contract.
Yeah. So, he's an absolute joy.
He's a treat. And he's... like, we've talked about this before, like... No offense to right-handers, it's just more fun to watch a great lefty. It just is, because we can't do it. Like, I think there's something about the fact that, like, when you're right-handed, watching a lefty do it feels more miraculous to you, because, like, when I throw left-handed, I look like I've never thrown a ball before in my life. You look ridiculous.
I don't know if we've ever talked about that.
We haven't?
I don't think so.
You agree with me, right? It's way more fun to watch a lefty.
I love a power righty.
I know you do, but at the end of the day, if you had to choose, you can only watch one, you're taking a lefty, right?
I don't know, Jim.
Jim. It's a crazy, crazy take by you. Oh, watching a lefty out there, even at like, you know, like a ranger type, mixing and matching, changing speeds.
I do. I like a crafty lefty.
That's what I'm talking about, crafty
lefty.
I'll
give you crafty.
Crafty lefty is my favorite thing to watch pitch.
But I also love a 99 from the right side with a power split off that. I mean, you kidding me? That also gets it going a little bit. Now, lefty
swing is inarguable. Inarguable. It's not even a discussion.
That's not even close.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whoa, silly. Come on. And by the way, I think baseball agrees. There's good right-handed
hitters. What is up with
hitters?
That, dude? I did. Who was that? Was that Tim Kelly who put that out this week? Or was it Gelb? Or someone had it? It was Gelb. Yeah, I thought that was interesting looking around. Like, it is not just a Phillies issue with right-handed outfield hitting. Yes. It seems like it is an issue across the league.
Well, and even right-handed hitters like that are great have had down starts of the year now. Like, Langelier's having a great year. Some.
But
like,
and Judge.
Yeah. But Judge had a down compared to
what
Judge
start,
is
yeah.
doing.
He'll get there, though. I think he'll be fine.
Tatis, Machado,
Trey. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Like, it's always Garcia.
Yeah, of course.
A lot of these great right-handed hitters are having down start to their seasons. I think pitchers have just, right-handed pitchers at least, have almost perfected the sinker, slider,
away, the kind
tunnel
of cuts
thing.
Away thing. Yeah.
Like, it's the same pitch out of hand.
Yeah.
And then one goes in, one goes out.
One goes in, one goes out.
Pretty hard.
Yeah.
But everyone's trying to think of ways to change baseball. Of like, we're back to the, you got to lower the mound. Yeah. You got to move the mound back and stuff like that.
Well, the Rays are doing their thing again this year. You know?
Well, I know. Did you watch the video yesterday?
I did. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't fully agree with everything in it, but I thought it was interesting.
They do also have, you know, Junior Caminero.
Yeah, they got dudes. They got Yandy. Like, they guys who can hit, which helps. But it's working. I mean, the Rays are right back at the top of the league again, you know?
The one thing that I think might work is if they raise the seams on the baseball, because it makes the ball a little bit less aerodynamic, and like I think it would hurt spin, and if you can hurt spin
that's
a little
what
bit,
you want to do.
Maybe that helps.
It hurts spin or speed, one of the two.
I mean, they don't need to lower the mound. I don't need to move the mound back.
I'm fine with whatever
raise
they want to do.
A little bit.
No, I'm not moving the mound back. The mound is 60 feet. That is not changing for me. If they've lowered the mound before, like I'd be okay with that. It wouldn't drive me crazy, but
sure.
I do agree with you. I think that if they could do something about the spin, that would help.
Yeah. I mean, this is shaping up for an all-time National League Cy Young race.
It's insane. Dude, what are there, seven guys under two in this race?
So,
Sale's under, Mizrowski's under.
Burns.
Burns is under.
Otani.
Sanchez, Otani. So five guys. I think there might be one more.
Wheeler, I believe. I mean.
Oh, Wheeler too. Yeah, he just doesn't have enough to qualify.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. He'll get there.
Oh, he'll get there. It's crazy, though. Think about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Shohei's, what, 0.7?
Yeah.
something like that.
Yeah. And unfortunately for him, well, now the bat's heating up, so he's going to win MVP.
Yeah, he just homered again yesterday. He's just walked with the MVP. Just handed it to him now.
All of a sudden, in 275 with like 9 home runs. Like, damn it. No. We're trying to get Schwarber
all of a sudden,
there.
He'd be the third best hitter on the Phillies like that. Yep, never
mind. Well, the best hitter.
No, I know. I'm saying stats-wise. Yeah. I'm saying you put his stats on the Phillies.
Yeah. Schwarber, I want to have Schwarber get a real chance to win MVP. But it's over. The MVP race is over.
Oh, it's over. Yeah, it's done.
But Cy Young, we're still, and he better
start
the
They're not going to give them both, right? That's never happened. We can't set a precedent here.
He's not.
You
as
can't
long
win
as,
MVP and Cy Young. I'm sorry. It's not allowed. The rules say no.
As long as one of Sanchez, Mizorowski, Wheeler,
I
Burns.
I agree. I think they'll give it to that guy.
Have way more innings, and they'll give it to one of those guys. And Sanchi better start the All-Star game.
Yeah. What a great point. Yeah, that it's in Philly. Like, let the guy, and he's been the best. Like, I think they will. I mean, it's him, Shohei. They might have Shohei started because that's what they do.
You need to look up Jacob Mizorowski's numbers.
I know he's been great. I'm just saying for starting the All-Star game.
It's not he's been great.
He's insane.
He's 100 strikeouts in 64 innings.
Is it 100?
Yeah. Like he's much better than Shohei.
I throw 100 every time. Wait, then what?
Than Shohei this year.
Well, no, I mean, not. I'm sure he's got a .70 ERA. He's just pitched a lot less innings.
He's an opener. I try to tell you that. He's an opener. It's cute what he's doing.
Anyone
can do it.
Sanchez should start. It's here. Yes. It's here. Don't screw this up. So who's the manager? It's Roberts, obviously. Yeah, Roberts, come on.
Yeah, he's got the emotional intelligence.
I actually think Roberts would do it. Yeah. I agree. And also, he knows that Sanchez got screwed over with that pitch in the playoffs. The way to give it back a little bit, you know?
And now, I think Sanchez turned it down. But we could play up the angle of Mizorowski got the All-Star nod over him last year.
Oh, yeah. I like that, too.
Yeah. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Well, there's a lot of angles to this thing, pal.
Come on,
I also would not hate if Wheeler started the game.
Well, Mizorowski at like 106 in the All-Star game. How hard is that guy going to throw in the All-Star game?
If he was a closer, he could get 105.
Well, I mean, the All-Star game, he'll go max effort. Yeah. I'm saying, like, he could hit 105 in the All-Star. Like, he will set, I'll bet you set the record in the All-Star game.
Yeah. I mean, he believes he can throw 105.
He might be able to.
Yeah.
That dude is insane.
I was watching
his I can't believe he's a starter. He feels like he should be a reliever. Like, it seems like unfair that guy's a starter and could throw that hard for that long. What do you have, like 50 pitches over 100 miles an hour the other night or whatever?
His last pitch in the sixth inning was 102.
Like, what the hell?
I know. It's awesome.
It's so awesome. The guy's awesome.
Pitching is in an insane spot.
Yeah, the Brewers are just annoying with that.
Well, and they developed Kyle Harrison, who, like, if it wasn't for Wheeler and Sanchez, they also pitched to an insane level this
Brandon
month.
Woodruff didn't get hurt. I mean, all these guys. They just...
trade Freddie Peralta. Who cares?
Yeah, no, we don't need him.
We don't need him.
It's nothing to us.
Yeah, they're a monster.
Yeah.
They are a monster. They're a monster. So, what can you do?
What can you do?
Can
this
you
is
do?
Pretty good. We spent a lot of time talking Chris Sanchez.
Well, he's the best.
Yeah. I didn't actually think we'd spend the whole pod, but that was pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's hard to fathom for a franchise that has been around since 1883 and a record that has been held for 115 years. Like, we may never for our lifetime see a Phillies player
won't.
Do this.
Yeah, we probably won't. I'd say we won't.
this is technically more rare than a perfect game.
No, it's a good point.
More rare than no-hitters.
Yes, it is.
Cycles.
Yeah. No, you're right.
This is... Part of why you love baseball so much is when a guy gets on a run like this and you can start thinking about it in historical,
Well, and it's fun precedence. When it's a pitcher, too, because, like, the hitter, it's every day. You know, like, a pitcher, you've got the time between starts to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So if he can keep this going, like, imagine what it's going to be like. Let's say he does exactly what he did last night or yesterday afternoon, his next start, 7 shutout. Then he's 7 1/3 away from the record.
Or
7-2, whatever. You know what I mean? So it's like... It's really, and it could have 2 starts, 3 starts. Like we are, like you said before, it is rarefied air that we are sitting in right now. And it is, to Jack's point, like, treasure this. Because Doc Rivers, treasure it. Because this is not something that you will experience often.
Yeah. More officially on the record, more impressive than Pete Rose's or the DiMaggio's hit streak.
Yeah, it's not, but I appreciate that. Yeah.
Come on. 59 scoreless?
I think the fact that there was a 58 scoreless and that the next most hitting streak games is 44-56. That,
I know.
It's pretty amazing.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
But let's say it's more important.
It's more, way more impressive.
Sanchez beats is more important.
100%.
Yeah. Okay.
First player ever to get 60 scoreless innings.
Okay. It could be.
Good luck arguing that one.
It's a great point. Yeah.
Good luck arguing that.
Carpooling gives you more of what you want. More savings, more friends, and more time to relax. Get matched into carpools with others who live and work near you. It's free. Register at commuterconnections.org or call 800-745-RIDE.
On my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich, we're getting down to the truth behind the names that you know and love. Unfiltered conversations with legends like Leanne Morgan, Kathy Griffin, Ricky Lake, Find out when they feel the most on par. We're breaking it down with Don Lemon, Aaron Parnas, Lamani Jones, laughing it up with Josh Johnson, Dan Soder, many more. You know, the results are in. Great conversations are always on par. So follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Let's do something unprecedented and go from the best pitcher on the team to the worst pitcher on the team. Because Aaron Nola was actually really good in game two of the series. I know. Your thoughts on Nola going into San Diego and shoving?
Hershiser should be worried about what Nola figured out in San Diego.
No, he's going to be the next one.
Yeah, he's going to be the next one.
You did give up 2 runs in the game.
It was basically a shutout.
For Aaron Nola, it was a shutout. Yeah.
He allowed 3 hits, 2 of them. We're in 1 inning. One of them, he could have got out of it. Now, I think people were being a little too hard on Trey. I thought it was a tough play. It was a tough play.
Hey, look, hey, if we're today is not the day to get on Trey Turner.
Nah.
My man hit 2 tank shots. I'm pretty stoked about it.
Absolutely tank. Absolute tank.
The one on then game two, that was a
434.
That was a, I mean, that's the biggest home run I felt like he's hit here in Philadelphia.
Certainly a long. Well,
yeah, the longest. No, I don't know if he had another long.
I think it was the hardest hit one for JT since 24.
Well, JT smoked that one too.
I don't know what was going on. But also,
it's the mining company or whatever. They just like hit the ball off it.
The Harper hit a ball 113 miles an hour.
Yeah, that was out of a hurry.
Laser beam. So I thought what Nola did that was fascinating is he made a concerted effort all night of, all right, against right-handed hitters, I'm basically just avoiding the inside part of the plate. You know, I'm getting blasted in there at this point. And he also pretty much ditched his four-seamer, which was also interesting. He might be changing his pitch mix or usage kind of on the fly because the four-seamer is getting hit at a rate that it's never been hit before.
417 or something like that.
And it was really fascinating. All he did all night was just tunnel and go back and forth and go over and over and over and spam the right-handed hitters with the knuckle curve sinker tunnel. And, you know, coming out of the same arm slot, same spot, over and over again, and forcing the hitters to, like, either going to swing through it, they're going to try to pull it and create bad contact. And when they did wait on it a little bit, they would, like, hit it foul. They weren't going the opposite way with it. And if he felt like, hey, they're kind of on that pitch now, they're on, then he'd rush the fastball in, and it would generate soft contact. Now, that only happens if you have great command of those pitches, which has not been the issue, or which has not been something he's had this year.
Correct.
So if he has command for that pitch now it was good. He saw some life on the pitches, which you have not seen from him. So there's some life on the sinker, some life on the knuckle curve. But for right-handed hitters, it might have been a new plan for him, which is just spot and dot the outside corner, whether it's down and away, go up a little bit, change an eye level, and just force them to beat you consistently with those pitches. And it's hard to do if you can consistently do it, because what are you going to do with the pitch? Like, sure, you can hit a little dinky single the other way. I think it's a hard pitches to drive, but if he has command of it, it could work. And then against lefties, now
they don't really have lefties.
They have Gavin Sheets and Jackson Merrill.
They don't really do lefties.
Well,
certainly not good ones. Other than Merrill. Merrill's been awful this year.
Oh, for the last 33 with runners in scoring position. I mean, we watched the Phillies offense and we're like, this sucks. That offense sucks.
Yeah,
and they have a bunch
sucks.
Of big names too.
They do. Yeah.
So. And against lefties, he only threw 2 changeups to lefties, which I thought was also interesting. But again, it's not like they had a ton of lefties in the lineup.
Yeah.
But I did think he did a much better job of rushing the four-seamer.
How is it that they have all the righties? We can't find a righty hitter to buy our life.
Suck.
I know. Well, they didn't last year.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah. I know.
Like, I'd take Machado or Tatis in this lineup.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. And I'd even take Laureano. Sure. I don't care what his numbers are.
Yeah, same.
I think I need that guy. Yeah. I wish I got him. Well, Bader is good, but I would have loved him last year. So he did a really, really good job of rushing fastballs in on four-seamers, or four-seam fastballs in on left-handed hitters, and it kind of reminded me of what Painter does with them. Like, both of them are kind of pitching the same right now. They both have to hide the fastball and use all their off-speed. So it was very encouraging from the standpoint of, did he find something he can use going forward? But at the same time, they are a putrid offense right now, a bunch of righties.
Yeah,
and a huge,
I mean, like, 2 straight series of not scoring any runs, essentially 4 runs in game 2 against Padres. Like, wow. 4 runs is a miracle.
The Padres offense is pretty good. So that's why.
Yo,
like,
so the Phillies. I got you.
Nola.
Yes.
So
there's qualifiers to it. Yes. True.
But it was encouraging.
All right. And Zeus. I thought, again, I think as Zeus finally settled in for you.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
me
that's
too.
What? That's what?
It's like five or six straight, right?
Five out of six starts have been great. Yeah. The Rockies stinker was in there. But Command's obviously been awesome. And just, it was old school. Now, old school, I mean just last year. it was old school Zeus of, like, huge stones. I mean, pitching
big
in and out of
stones.
Trouble.
Big
that
time stones.
Really wasn't his fault. You know, some bad defense early in those games. And he got out of them. It was funny seeing Castellanos try so hard to beat that ball out the first thing.
I know.
His highest sprint speed of the year to try to beat it
That's
out.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So, but that was money, big time stuff from Jesus Luzardo. And really, it feels like the whole starting staff is just pushing each other.
It's been great.
You know, Nola's probably seeing what the guy's doing and be like, well,
I can't suck as much as I suck.
Come on, I got to be a part of this thing. And the I think we talked about it last podcast, but after Wheeler's last start, just him saying about Chris Sanchez.
Yeah, wow. we're competing.
And at the end being like, he's tough to compete with right now. But he almost sounded exhausted by it.
Yeah.
And I think everyone else is just kind of leveling up in a way and trying to one up each other, which is what the great rotations in the history of baseball have done. So the starting pitching run, I think it's what, four out of the last five road games have been shutouts.
And they won seven straight road games. They're playing good baseball on the road, too.
A lot of power on the road all of a sudden.
So, can I ask you a question then? Can Brad Keller be influenced by that starting lineup and step
Brad Keller
game?
Is fine.
Is he?
Yes.
You sure about that?
100% sure. He's going to allow a home run a week that you have to get used to. And it's going to be annoying.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
It is annoying.
It's so annoying.
He's
like, dude, just go out there and be good. You are good.
He is good.
You are good.
He is good.
Go be good.
Well, he is infuriating.
We need you. Like, you are such an important member of this team.
He's a nibbler. He's a nibbler.
It's annoying. It's frustrating.
Just go use all your stuff and throw strikes. Yeah. And you know, he doesn't have the most inspiring face.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, it's not a wow, look at that.
There's no intimidation with
Brad Keller.
I'll
follow that guy into war.
It's not the most intimidating face.
No, I agree with that, yeah.
Which is hard to quantify. I don't know if there's an analytic
for
it.
Oh, no, it's just something you know when you see it.
You look and it's like, I don't see killer.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Not killer Keller, I'll tell you that.
No, certainly not. Certainly not. It was an encouraging John Boland start, or John Boland outing.
Yeah.
1-2-3, much needed. I still believe in Big John. It's like those two, I believe in.
Change
like,
everything. They change everything.
You see the stuff. Like, the stuff is there. It's going to click. Keller, I'm less worried about than Boland. Like, we'll see with Boland.
Well, Keller's better. Yeah. So
he'll figure it out.
I hope so.
But if you can work on having a more, he needs a better killer face.
Feeling better about Alvy?
Yeah.
That was nice yesterday. Him in the ninth inning in any sort of close game is a disaster in my mind right now. Got it done yesterday.
Yeah. He is not falling off a cliff.
Yeah, I thought he was done in any sort of high leverage spots. It's starting to feel like he can kind of
still useful.
There's something there.
Yeah. So now it's never usually now yesterday was good, but it's never usually the easiest inning. But for the most part, yeah, he's a useful lefty arm. Useful
all right,
lefty
quickly
arm.
To the bats before we get to the bag, the take bag.
Mm-hmm.
Any big takeaways? Look, it's been, two straight series of low-scoring wins when they win, low-scoring losses.
Playoff-type feel.
It's been really, 4-0, 3-2, 4-3, 3-0, 3-1. Like, it's just a lot of those type of games. We saw in the 16-4, 16-5 when they first started Maggie, they were hitting a little more. There was some... Is this just kind of what it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, right? It's just kind of... You're going to win a lot of 4-0, 4-2, 4-3, lose some claims you shouldn't, that kind of stuff.
We all know this isn't really sustainable, right? Yeah. I mean, when it comes to, this weekend will be a good test of it. You know, the Dodgers much better offensively, pitching. Like, part of what helped this week also, again, not the most inspiring offensive week, but they faced Griffin Canning. They didn't exactly do anything against Walker Buehler.
Yeah, I know, dude. And Griffin Canning, I think, had like a 7 ERA coming in. Walker Buehler had a 5.05 ERA coming in.
Yeah.
That's the disheartening part.
Yeah, they weren't
like,
facing...
Like, you don't get hits off the Padres' bullpen? Fine. I get that. That's fine. You can't not hit Buehler and friggin'... Buehler, all right, fine. Buehler's charged up to go against his former team. Like, Griffin Canning has been a friggin' disaster this year.
I know. And game two was... Oh, they got Randy Vasquez.
Which is
good.
Fine. Randy's been good. He's a good pitcher.
So they got Randy Vasquez.
And they got to him. He's the one they hit the best, which is funny.
Yeah. So...
It does seem like they... the Skeens thing. This has been a constant issue for this group. It feels like they get more ready when they, in the regular season, the playoffs are its own entity.
Yeah, a little different.
Own entity. But in the regular season, it feels like they come with an approach. They get more prepared to play a good pitcher. But then, you know, that when it's like, oh, let's just go.
But besides Chase Burns. Besides Chase Burns.
Sure.
Who?
Unhittable. What do you want him to do?
Yeah. So, yeah, it makes for very nerve-wracking games.
Yes.
It does not help the run differential.
No. I've given up on the run differential. We're not going to be superstars of the run differential this year. We got out of the hole. We're not the worst at baseball anymore. I'm happy about that. That was really disheartening.
Oh, yeah.
When it was like minus 60 and everyone's like minus 30, whatever the hell it was, we're like minus 30 and everyone's like minus 18. Mm-hmm. I hated that. We've made it better. This is never going to be a run differential team. They just aren't.
No. Just getting the pluses, though. That's where we need to be.
Yeah, B plus.
Getting the green.
Yeah, no negative.
And it does put a lot of strain on the bullpen. I mean, Duran had pitched in 4 out of 5 games.
Yeah, well, that's why he couldn't go. That's why they had Alvey in there.
Yeah. Is everyone okay with Duran? Or we
talked about this last time, and everyone knows where we stand. He's really great.
He's the fifth best closer,
somewhere in there. He's a top five closer in baseball, probably.
100% top five closer.
Yeah.
You can make the case for top three. He has the third.
You can make the case for top three.
The third highest save percentage in the history of baseball, at the minimum of 100 saves. So
I think people expected Mason Miller, and he's not Mason Miller. I think that's what it was.
No, I just everyone's like, I don't know, about Duran. Meanwhile, he's blown 3 saves as a Philly. He's got 10 on the year. He hasn't blown a save.
Yeah, he just had the tie game. He blew.
He had the tie game. So
he had 2 tie games, right?
Well, the one that I most recently remember was
just having the Guardians game.
So
I think he had one earlier in the year, but I could be
wrong. He might have. But take a chill pill. Take a chill pill.
With
on
you,
old,
preach.
Old Duran.
Preach.
Old Duran. Kirkering does look great too, by the way.
Hey, I gotta wait for some big spots for the guy.
Yes, 100%.
But he looks to your point. He looks like he's got a chip on his shoulder, which is what you want to see in that kid coming out.
And he's really starting to the splitter's developing. It's turning into a pretty good pitch, but he's kind of starting to eat with that little sinker.
Mm-hmm.
98 down the zone, getting on top of it, really driving it down. He's starting to eat a little bit. He's starting to eat.
Good.
All right.
He's hungry.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the bag. Oh, actually, real quick, before we get to the bag, shout out to today's sponsor of the show. A place I've been many times. I've gone with Emily. We've played Quizzo there. It is an awesome place right here in Philly. Shout out to the New Deck Tavern. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the New Deck Tavern on Sansom Street. Love the New Deck. Check out New Deck Tavern for every Phillies game. Enjoy $4 Miller Lite pints and famous Shepherd's Pie. Miller Lite's fills with and celebrate responsibly. New Deck is an awesome spot. We've done events there. I have gone there many times. Check out New Deck. It's a great spot. Miller Lite's Philsman. Again, next week, we're going to tell you about what's coming up in June. We're just going to get all of it buttoned up and locked down. But we have a bunch of stuff coming up in June. We'll certainly tell you about this stuff coming up early in June. So next pod, tune in. We'll tell you where we're going to be, what's going on. We got a lot of opportunities to hang out coming up in June.
By the way, Hembo tweeted this out.
Shout out to Hembo.
Love Hembo.
He's so good.
Hershiser only struck out 34 guys in his scoreless.
Really?
Inning, or scoreless among.
Wow, so Santander's already there.
Yeah, 45. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Carpooling gives you more of what you want. More savings, more friends, and more time to relax. Get matched into carpools with others who live and work near you. It's free. Register at commuterconnections.org or call 800-745-RIDE.
Hey, y'all, I'm Maddie.
And I'm Poodle.
And together we host the podcast Reality Gaze.
We are two ridiculous homosexuals who love nothing more than talking about reality television
and tearing in a new one. So whether it's 90 Day Fiancé, Love is Blind, Love After Lockup, or any other trash TV show about lonely hearts looking for love, your gay besties got you covered, y'all.
New shows every week. Follow and listen to Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcast.
Reality Gaze, let's love.
All right, so I believe I have a possible plan to help the offense.
Okay.
And
a little vague with that, but that's good. We're going to help it.
I have an idea, and okay. I believe mm-hmm. my spidey senses are tingling
okay,
a little
good,
bit.
Good.
That they might be thinking about it, too.
Ooh.
There's two things, actually. Now, Trey's had a good 2 games.
On fire. Yeah.
On fire.
Yeah, on fire.
He should have had a double, too, and Cassidy somehow got to that ball in right field. I was like, who the hell is playing? Is that Cassidy?
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought he was laying the groundwork. I thought Mattingly was laying the groundwork for putting Marsh up there and going 3 straight lefties because he has said a couple times recently that he doesn't care about putting Stott
in March. Yeah, you guys got to hit, yeah.
And we'll deal with late in the game,
Yeah, that has been a thing that Magnus said from the jump. He's like, it doesn't matter where they hit, they just have to hit. Like, yeah. He's been pretty strong on that.
So I didn't know if maybe Trey kept struggling, they'd keep bumping them down, then maybe they put Marsh up there and just roll with it and, like, the least against a righty starter.
Let's get weird.
And let's just try to ambush the starter and go from there, so which could be an option, but that's not really any – if Trey's going to hit like this, you're fine. So, but Edmundo's playing left field a lot.
Oh, I noticed.
And he's actually starting a little – it's slowing down for a little bit for him out there. Yeah. Looking a little bit more left fielder-ish.
Good.
Which I did not expect.
Step in the right direction.
Yes. And if he can really do it, then you don't need Quad A Kemp. You don't need Felix Reyes, who is, by the way, has a 1,400 OPS in AAA because, of course.
two Quad A guys.
Unbelievable. They're so good at developing Quad A bats. So you don't really need them. So they can go play in AAA, and you don't have to rely on them. And Edmundo can be your left fielder against left-handed starters. And they can bring up Gabriel Rincones Jr., who is now working his way back from injury. He's up to AAA now. He had three hits yesterday. Two of them were over 110 miles an hour. Ooh. He hit another ball over 110 miles an hour that was caught. And then he had a 100-mile-an-hour single to right field. So he's a real bat. I think he's a real big league bat. I do not believe he's a quad A bat.
Okay.
Really hope he's not.
Hard to know.
Really hope he's not. He is a platoon guy. He can't hit left-handed pitching, really. But against right-handed pitching, he's legit. And Adolis.
Oh, I see where you're going. Right field platoon, left field. Let's just platoon it up, baby.
Do it. Whatever.
I don't hate it. Why not?
So he has a.
Look, Adolis Garcia, they have to do something. Adolis Garcia, we love the guy. If he keeps hitting like this, you can't just put him in right field every day.
Well, and the tough part about Adolis right now is I feel like he's going up there trying to walk. Like he gets so excited when he walks now, which is awesome. He's like, this is a big old bat flip.
I know.
Which, listen, we appreciate a good walk rate around here.
Yeah, for real. Seriously.
But I think he is actively seeking
it's
out.
It's at the diminishment of his ability to hit.
Yes.
Is a problem.
Yeah. Now, he does have a 779 OPS against left-handed pitching. Not bad.
No, it's acceptable.
We take that.
We would. Yeah.
So if you put him there.
I don't ever remember. You're usually finding like 9 days worth of a 1233 OPS or whatever. I don't ever remember. He's got a 779. I know that is better, but it is
for
just
Adolis,
so uninspiring.
It's under 800, but it's better than 400. 423 OPS or
it
whatever.
It is much, much, much better.
So if he can play right field against left-handed pitching, Rincones plays right field against right-handed pitching. He smokes right-handed pitching, and he has a good eye. He had like his last 3 months, he had like a 384 OBP, 423 OBP, and then a 407 OBP.
I can't believe you're quoting month stats. I love this
well,
so much.
Because for some freaking reason.
You're just on fire right
for
now.
For some reason.
This is you just at the top of your game.
Baseball Reference, you know how you can go to a certain day and then click,
highlight it. Yeah,
yeah. So for Major League Baseball, it's fine.
It
still
it's
does,
great. It's a great thing.
But it still does it for like last 18 games.
Yeah,
here's this.
Yeah, you can do it.
For some reason, the minor league guys, you can't do it anymore.
Oh, no.
And it's infuriating. I thought it was maybe my internet browser. It's not my internet browser. I've tried it on four different internet browsers. It's so annoying.
That is annoying.
And I'm not doing the math, shocking, of trying to put all the numbers together.
Nor should you, yeah. So you're just going by what they say they did in the month.
So I go by the months now.
Which is good. I get that. That actually makes a lot of sense to me.
That's what
somebody uses Baseball Reference. Yeah.
It's unbelievably annoying.
That is incredibly annoying, though.
Yes. And I believe when I could do it, he, against right-hand pitching, he had like an OPS over 1,000 against right-hand pitching at the end of last year. And we all remember what he did in spring training of last year. He really started to put on a show. And
we all remember.
Everyone remembers.
People
it.
Still talk about it.
He's your old school.
The dinner table to come up. Like, hey, you remember that Rincones spring training?
It's up there with Mickey's. Dude, Mickey's spring training in 22.
I know.
I mean,
why not?
If Ryan Yarbrough didn't break his hand, who knows? He could have been our center fielder
in
the future.
Right. Yeah.
But yes, Rincones, right field, little right field platoon with Adolis. If Sosa can really handle left field, so you can send Kemp down, bring up Rincones. He plays right field. And they have like Adam Dunn 2.0 as like.
Sure. Sure. I would love Adam Dunn. I'm in on Adam Dunn 2.0.
No, you don't see many of the big lumbering outfielders.
No, you don't.
That's
a thing of the past.
Yeah. So, and there's some, they did, it was spring training content where they're just, you know, doing the little videos and they're kind of funny. And there's this thing where you can test wrist strength. And he was number one of all like the players in the system.
Mm-hmm.
and like right behind him was Schwarber.
I love that so much.
Insane.
Honestly, you couldn't have said something that would make me happier than that.
No problem.
That was the best thing you said. Love that so much.
Yeah. I don't know what it's like. You squeeze it.
I know, I'm in.
Squeeze it. And sure. Somehow like 200.
Measures it.
Somehow. Like he got the 200. And Schwarber was like 190 or something.
I love this so much. It's the best thing you said. I'm fully in on Gabriel Rincones now.
Thank you. So he's not unbelievable, but I think that he is in the big leagues, like a 230, 240 hitter with real pop and walks a lot.
Yeah, and they need pop.
They need pop.
Yeah.
They need pop.
I think that's, they need pop.
They need pop.
I think it's pretty good, man. I think it's a good job by you.
Thank you. And I might not give up on the Wilson Contreras dream.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I don't think I can do it.
You just Schwarber in left field? Is that what we're doing?
So they could form a rotation of Schwarber in left every once in a while.
They just mix and match them.
Mix and match.
Contreras at first sometimes. Harper.
Or Contreras DH.
Harper to right. Yes. Isn't that? Just move them around.
To get.
Musical chairs.
Like Wilson Contreras.
I mean, he would make the lineup so much better. Oh, my God.
Because you look at the right field.
So, okay, let me ask you an important question here then. Because, you know, I think that you, and it's fair to say, and look, I think Bryce has gotten way too much crap than he deserves. But I think you are probably the number one Harper defender in the city, I would say. Would you agree with
that? Gotta do it.
Do you think he would play right field? Because I think that is something where there's a lot of questions. I don't think the Phillies want him in right field, first and foremost. So I think that, you know, sometimes I think it gets put on him when it's not or whatever. But do you think if they said, hey, Wilson Contreras will come here, we could trade for him, we can get him, changes the lineup, he's got to play first base, Bryce, we need you to go to right. Do you think, wouldn't Bryce do it, and would he be happy to do it?
I would hope so. Because because Wilson Contreras.
What a great response.
Wilson Contreras.
Well done.
Might legitimately be the difference between this team winning a World Series and not.
Legitimately.
It's a year and a half.
Yep.
It's a year and a half at $17 million a year.
It's a great contract.
So, and he is. He smokes the baseball. He has a little bit of pop, but he's hitting for a high average. Like he changes the whole dynamic. He's because you look at around, it's like, sure, you could talk yourself into Jorge Soler. You can talk yourself into Taylor Ward.
Yeah, but they're just not as good a hitter.
You can talk yourself into whoever. Like there's a lot of right-handed options out there. But man, you want to talk about someone who would legitimately change the lineup? I mean, it's Wilson Contreras. If you could put him four, hitting behind him, say, hey.
It changes everything.
Bryce, you want a protection? Here's your protection.
Yeah.
You want a right-handed bat? There's your right-handed bat. It's the best they can probably do at the trade deadline. I mean.
Yeah, you never know who's going to be available in a couple months. Stuff. And even then, I think a Contreras is a better trade for Kane than Trout when you take in that contract and the injuries of Trout.
Sure. Now, easier position-wise. But
yeah, Trout makes more sense to fit, but I think that Contreras is a safer bet for way less money.
Way less.
I mean, we're talking years less money at
a year
at
and a
cheaper
half
price.
At $17 million.
As opposed to what Trout got, like 8 years left, 7 years left at
40-something
a year? 42. Yeah, like, I mean, Trout still has like $208 million or something left on his contract. I mean, it's a massive
difference. We're going to have to pay that down.
Yeah, yeah, you're okay.
We're going to have to pay that down. So, I can't give up the Contreras dream.
I think it's a great dream. Honestly, I love it. If Harper could go to right field, I would do it in a second. To your point, there are very few single moves that, in my opinion, would do enough to, and again, I still think the Dodgers would be the favorite and all that, but there are not that many things where with one move, they can, in my opinion, change the whole complexion of their chances to win the World Series, and that's the type of move that does that. Mm-hmm. I think, and again, like, I am, and we're jumping ahead a bit, and we'll get way more into this in, you know, a month, 2 months, really, but, like, we'll start more in a month leading up to it and all that, but as we sit here today, like, I would feel very uncomfortable trading someone like Gage Wood or something like the high-end Myers guys because we need them so badly and we know that there are already contracts that are out, you know, for years going forward and all that stuff. But it's going to be a fascinating thing. If it is something like, would you trade Gage Wood for something like Wilson Contreras where it's like it is such a no-brainer, massive change to their opportunity to win. Like, I'd have to really think about it, but I don't want to change Gage Wood. It's going to be a fascinating thing to as we get closer to that and the type of opportunities that are out there.
Yeah, so I did an exercise the other day of who is my, like, truly untouchables versus my, like, I would consider.
It's untouchable at the end of the day if I have to. Yeah, exactly.
Would have to?
Yeah, like Tait last year. That was the type of guy, I don't want to trade him, but you know what? If at the end of the day, if I have to, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. And I put Gage Wood in my don't want to, but if they had to.
That's kind of where I mean, he's like as close to untouchable without being untouchable for me as a guy could be.
I still have Aiden and Francisco Renteria as my untouchable.
Yeah, they have to be.
And then I also would put Ramon Marquez in my don't want to trade, but if I had to.
Okay.
And if you really, if you get a few beers in me, I would probably, we could start talking about, would you take Gage or Ramon Marquez? Would you start talking a little reckless?
If you had to trade one of the two, who'd you trade?
As of right now, Ramon.
But I think that shows that you even had to think about it, shows how high you are on Ramon. Because like Gage is, you know.
Well, here's the thing about Ramon Marquez, is he's two, like a full two, I don't know what the number is. It could be closer to 3 years younger than him. And like,
that's a big difference.
And already is developed, and he doesn't have the injury issues that Gage has had. And I just think the changeup is like a, but both are sick.
Yeah.
I would still trade him first, but I also don't want to give Ramon Marquez away.
Sure.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at.
All right. What else you got in there?
That's it.
No minor league minute today?
Well, I usually do that on Monday.
Okay. Oh, I didn't realize. I just assumed we did it every pod. I like this.
Well,
this
I have all right, a midweek minor league minute.
Just a little
quick
one. Just a quick one. Just people were sitting there being like, am I getting it? Yeah, you know, I was sitting there, am I getting it? So just quick one.
Okay. Well, Griffin Burkholder has had four hits in his last two games.
Yeah, and buddy. That's what I'm talking about.
Dude, he's up to two. Unfortunately, he had to pitch. He had to hit against a position player to close out the game yesterday because he was tracking it. All of a sudden, his average is up to 292 with an 868 OPS.
Hey, now.
So, again, I think, for my money, he's the third best hitting prospect in the system behind Aiden and Francisco.
Okay.
I think he's ahead of Nori.
It's legit.
And Nori's really struggling at Lehigh, or at Reading. So, very Burkholder up. And the last quick one, because I'm starting to get excited about him, is Jonathan Hogart.
Oh,
who's not talking about
Hoagie? Hoagie's great.
Yeah, dude, I knew him. He is like a Cardinals player. He, you know, he reminds me of a little bit. Is now he's an outfield version, but he reminds me of Jed Jerko.
Oh my God, sure.
Remember him?
Yeah, Padres too. Jed Jerko.
He reminds me of him and
dude
like,
could mash.
Ty France. Like, they remind me of him. Like he's.
You're going a couple years. He had like over 30 homers, I think, a couple years.
Jed Jerko?
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know. Maybe. Felt like he did. I think he had 1 year over 30 homers.
I could see that. He was a good little player.
He was a good player, Ginger. Anyway, keep going.
So he's, but he's a little old. He's advanced for that age. Like he's like 24, I think, playing in the Florida State League. So he's got to get bumped up soon, and we'll see. But like the underlying metrics suggest that he is like really making good his quality of contact is good.
1 year, 2016, he had 30 homers.
Really?
Yeah, I thought he got up there, and then he had 23 another year, 20 another year, but. Yeah, 2016, he had 30 homers.
Yeah. So, but Hogart is like an outfielder. He's a little bit old for the grade, for the class. He's got to move up to Jersey Shore soon. But like the quality of contact numbers for him under the hood are all very, very tracking at a good level.
Love this.
So he's like a utility outfield type guy, probably a fourth outfielder type, but like a looks like a winning ball
player. Love that. We need winning ball players. We need those.
Once Otto Kemp was viewed as a winning
ball. You had me as soon as he said he's a Cardinals player. I'm like, bring him.
Kemp kind of reminds me of Carlos player, too.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all I got.
Dodgers this weekend.
Oh, just win one, please.
Just win one. just take a game. We don't have Sanchez going. Just take a game. Win the Wheeler game, and we're good.
You got Wheeler Lizardo.
Yeah, exactly.
Big tester painter on Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be really exciting to watch. So.
Now, I think Teoscar's out. He's got a hamstring.
He's been in and out. Yeah, is he out?
I know
he's not on the IL. I know that because he's on my fantasy team, so I don't have the little IL thing next to him yet.
Now he's been labeled as out, so maybe the move is coming.
Well, that'd be good for the Phillies at least, not for our fantasy teams.
Nah, he's like kind of on my bench a little bit.
Yeah, he's been struggling, Teoscar. Yeah,
he did up the last week, but yeah.
There you go. I'm sure if he plays, he'll kill us.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, we'll be back after the weekend. Big series. This should be fun. Phillies Dodgers, and again, coming up after the weekend, we'll tell you about all the stuff we got coming up in June because it's going to be June after the weekend, Jack. As crazy as that seems.
It is crazy.
June 1st. So we'll be back then to react to the Dodgers series, tell you what's coming up, all kinds of stuff. Until then, he's Fritz and Seltzer.
Carpooling gives you more of what you want. More savings, more friends, and more time to relax. Get matched into carpools with others who live and work near you. It's free. Register at commuterconnections.org or call 800-745-RIDE.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.